Letting a little extra drum beat there, sorry.
Sorry, Babooba. Babooba.
It is the bonus hour, Wendy, so a bonus drum beat is certainly in keeping with what this hour represents.
I guess so.
Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy here on WGN. We're on the stream. We're on the internet. You can hear us. Well, you're already hearing us, so you already know this. But tell people who cannot hear us that it's now possible to hear us.
Can I tell you, I have gotten a few responses on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, that say, oh, how can I listen to you guys live? At the very, very top of our Facebook page, Kevin has posted a little help me link. And it basically says, if you still haven't found us on the stream, click on this.
Right.
I tried it earlier this morning, and I heard Steve Cochran. And here's what's happened. If you click on that now, you can hear us. If you click on it in the morning, you can just listen to it. That's how my husband listens to us. He listens on the app. And then right at this time, there's no break. It just goes directly over to us again.
I see. All right.
So that's probably the easiest way to do it.
My wife listens in a strange way. I reenact whatever you and I have talked about.
So yesterday when we were talking about the clear jeans, were you wrapping yourself in saran wrap?
I did. Yeah.
Snossages.
I made it a very three-dimensional all-access presentation for her. A couple of things. Thing number one, I know this is a little inside, but we found out a very short time ago that Jonathan Demme, the great director, very, very talented director, had died. And so we're trying our best to get a friend of ours who has known him for years and years and years and worked with him. And so far, we have not been fortunate enough to do that, but we're still trying. And hopefully, by the end of the hour, we will have him on to talk. We're trying.
This friend is very elusive, let me just say
very
that.
Very elusive.
But I found this to be shocking news when Ryan reported it. Oscar-winning director Jonathan Demme died today in New York of cancer complications, according to his publicist, 73 years old.
Yeah. Yep. I guess the movie most people would know him for is Silence of the Lambs. And just to show you how special this movie is, horror films or scarier movies do not win the Academy Award, but that did. Silence of the Lambs did. And that says a lot, because usually the Academy shuns those movies as even being a possibility to win the Academy Award as Best Movie, but it was such a well-respected and well-made movie that they saw otherwise when that movie was up for the award.
It was really a tremendous film. According to Variety, Demme is best known for, as Bill Leff points out, it says that right there in Variety.
It says that in there?
The Silence of the Lambs, the 1991 horror thriller that was a box office smash, a critical triumph, and introduced moviegoers to Anthony Hopkins' Hannibal Lecter. Thank you very much.
You did all the looping on that movie, right? Whenever they couldn't get Anthony Hopkins to do the lines, you just came in and did them.
So right.
You have a nice tie into that movie.
Thank you. Hannibal Lecter, a charismatic serial killer with a yen for Chianti, fava beans, and cannibalism.
Yep.
I would say that about covers it.
That sums it up.
The story of a novice FBI analyst, Jodie Foster, who was Clarice. She was awesome in this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was. On the Trail of a Murderer became only the third film in history to win Academy Awards in all the top five categories. Picture, actor, actress, director, Jonathan Demme, and adapted screenplay, joining the ranks of It Happened One Night and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, I don't know what It Happened One Night is.
That would be a Clark Gable movie from the 1940s.
So that captured all the top five categories, and so did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, so it's very rare. Very, very rare. I first became aware of him, Jonathan Demme, in, boy, would it have been the late 70s, maybe? A movie called Melvin and Howard. Did you ever see that with Jason Robards Jr.?
No.
Really
good. The story
good.
Of a service station owner who claimed to have been a beneficiary of Howard Hughes.
Yeah. Yeah. A really kind of a weird, quirky movie.
He's known more for quirky, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something Wild.
Is that good?
It is one of the best movies.
That is
Melanie
a great
Griffith
movie.
Is in it. Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, and Ray Liotta at his creepiest.
Oh my God, yes. It's really good, funny, and well acted.
And it has, all right, I won't say spoiler alert because I'm not going to give this away, but some things happen toward the end when you think you kind of have the characters figure out, you realize you don't.
I gotta watch
that. Which is
that
really,
again.
Yeah, that's a superior movie right there. That may be my favorite. He did a remake of The Manchurian Candidate in 2004, which the original Manchurian Candidate, it's one of those things where you go, well, I don't think they can improve on this. This is a really good movie. I don't know that he improved on it, but he made a very good modern version of Manchurian
Candidate.
Really? Yeah, it's really good. He also made some clinkers, Wendy. There's a movie called Rachel Getting Married with Anne Hathaway that I just despised. I thought it was awful. I'm not blaming Jonathan Demme.
I didn't even see it, but, so there you go.
Not worth your time or effort.
Married to the Mob, in my opinion, was very good. He did that. He oversaw the Talking Heads' Stop Making Sense. I believe one of the first concert movies ever.
You know, he did. People always know him for movies like Silence of the Lambs and the rest of the movies we mentioned. But he loved doing music documentaries. He did one with Bruce Springsteen that got real high acclaim. He did a Neil Young documentary called Heart of Gold, I'm not a huge fan of Neil Young's. I like him. I don't love him. But watching that, you got to know a lot more about Neil Young and what made him tick.
And, I got to show that to my son, Michael, because he loves Neil Young.
Really good.
Kevin, you saw it?
I'm a big Neil Young fan. And yeah, that Heart of Gold is amazing.
I might be watching that.
So over the years, in addition to all the better-known movies that he did, he was very active with documentaries, especially chronicling certain musicians.
Justin Timberlake, he just finished. He did a documentary on.
Yeah.
And we're forgetting Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
That was an amazing
movie.
Wasn't
that good? Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
And Denzel Washington. Yeah.
Unbelievable movie.
Yeah. And I want to say Antonio Banderas, I think. Isn't he in that, too? I could be wrong, but I think he's in that as well.
He, Jonathan Demme most recently worked on an episode of the Fox police drama Shots Fired, which is scheduled to air on April 26th. So tomorrow? Today? Today.
Today. Wow.
He died
today.
How about
that timing?
Wow. And he did Ricky and the Flash starring Meryl Streep, which I have not seen yet, and I'm dying to see it. I kind of forgot. It's like if you don't see a movie when it's current, I kind of forget it's on my to-do list.
Bit. Yeah.
But I'm going to have a Jonathan Demme Film Fest, I think, over the weekend.
Now, remind me, because there was a director named Ted Demme who died a couple years ago, and I think that was Jonathan Demme's son, wasn't it? Do we know for sure? Is there some way? I can look it up. But I'm almost positive that that was the relationship.
I don't know. I just know that we're trying to get a hold of Buzz Killman, and he's elusive. And he
grew up with him.
He
right?
grew up with Jonathan Demme. Buzz has had notable roles in almost every single solitary Jonathan Demme movie. Most notably, a pivotal role in Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
Silence of the Lambs.
Lambs.
Okay, yeah. Plural. There's an elevator scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where Buzz is an EMT.
Yeah.
And looks up and something happens to give something away. That's all I'm going to say in case you didn't. Was that not spoiler or nerdy enough?
I think you did fine.
Okay.
You didn't give too much away. A quick correction, if I could. Ted Demme, the director who died about 8 or 10 years ago, was the nephew of Jonathan Demme. I thought he was his son, but it's his nephew.
All right. Well, I was surprised to hear this. Didn't hear any mention of him having cancer.
No.
A lot of times celebrities do that. And keep it under wraps.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be one to blurt it. I have cancer, you know.
I know you well enough to know that that's the route you would take. Yeah.
I know, but it's, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's okay to talk about it because that affects everyone in some way, whether it be a family member or a friend.
I'm sure everybody, when you get news like that, you're confronted with that decision of, how public do I want to make this? Do I want to tell people only very close to me? Is it a need-to-know basis? I don't remember hearing anything about him being sick or having cancer until we find out earlier today that he had died. But that's always, I'm sure, a tough decision, especially for somebody who's in the limelight like he was. You know, will this hamper my ability to work? Will people feel sorry for me if I'm sharing this reality with them? So I'm positive that that's a struggle for people.
I guess it is better to wait and hope you beat it and then say, oh, by the way, sorry if I've been crabby lately.
Right.
I had a little bit on my plate.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, it's very sad news. Jonathan Demme passed away. Word was given to us today. 73 years old. He died today in New York of cancer complications, according to his publicist.
They're saying esophageal cancer on IMDb. So, yeah, That's awful. All right, we'll take a quick break.
Is this going to be another depressed show because of this?
No.
This is what, it's like every day there's something going on.
I know. No.
All right.
There's nothing but good news and sunshine and lollipops ahead.
I'm all for that.
All right, stick around. It's Bill and Wendy. We're on the stream, you know, on WGN.
It's Bill. It's Wendy. We're streaming.
Second nature to us at this point. At first, it was a struggle, but now it's just second nature.
It wasn't a struggle.
I didn't understand it at first.
There's nothing to understand. You could turn a mic on and you're talking.
I sat differently. You know how downstairs I sit like this? When I'm upstairs, I sit like this.
You're more relaxed.
Yeah.
This is the looser Bill F. I like it.
Kevin, bring us some caramels. Nope. Thought I'd ask.
All right. Remember the days when TMZ used to be just the shocking, outrageous news that
sure.
you didn't even know if you could believe?
Yeah.
It's turning out to be a pretty valuable news source, I hate to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that show, What's Wrong With Me? What does that say about
me? With Harvey Levin?
Yeah. They're all just throwing out things that they've done and how
right.
they're bothering the celebrities out there. And
right.
for some reason...
It's entertaining.
It kind of is.
Sure.
I'm a bad person, aren't I?
There's this one guy who's got like a nest of hair.
Yeah.
He looks like a beach guy, like he'd be on a beach somewhere. And he just says stuff about the Olsen twins and they all make fun of him. It's a good time.
It kind of is. I hate to admit it. But anyway, mm-hmm. here's what they're reporting. Here's the headline. $400,000 fee for Wall Street speech. Hypocrisy. And then there's a picture of our former president, Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama is getting in bed with Wall Street. This according to TMZ. He's reportedly getting $400,000 to address a group of people he once referred to as fat cats.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? He still would probably call them fat cats.
So is there beef with this, the fact that he's making that much money or the fact that he's addressing people that he has in the past ripped to some degree? I don't understand what their problem is.
I don't either. Here, I'll go on to read. Obama has signed on to be the keynote speaker at a Wall Street healthcare conference run by Cantor Fitzgerald. And the news has the former president's critics chomping at the bit. He's made no secret of his disdain for some Wall Street bankers.
Mm-hmm.
Fox Business says Obama signed on the dotted line, but final details are still being ironed out before a formal announcement. And then TMZ writes, pretty sweet gig, though. That's an entire year of POTUS salary in a single day. It's also double what Hillary Clinton previously commanded on the speech circuit. Can someone tell somebody that Barack Obama is no longer our president? He deserves to make what they're going to pay him, doesn't he?
I don't have stats in front of me, but I think almost everybody who was the president at some point goes on kind of a speaking tour and always makes decent money. You're in high demand. You were the most important person in the world at some point. So presidents have always done this. Yeah, the price goes up. $400,000 is a lot of money, but obviously they can afford it or they wouldn't have offered it to him.
So is he bad for taking it?
I don't think so.
I don't either. How much wasn't Bill Clinton getting an extreme amount
yeah.
to speak?
Yeah, he was. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I remember hearing
at singles bars.
Right. Because you want him on his home turf, right?
You
want him where it makes
exactly.
sense. Yeah.
Well, I know that Hillary was making a lot of money while running for the president, but again, some of these speaking engagements blow me away at how much they make. And it's like, what do you talk about? Well, I'm just kind of there just regular people I hear do speaking engagements like they're a consultant and they talk.
Yeah.
What do you talk about? Oh, just having fun in the workplace. Really?
Yeah.
Can we do, these
right
public speakings on how to stream?
You know what? When I did stand up, I got hired a couple of times to do this, to do after what they just call after dinner speaking. And I said, what exactly is it? And they said, well, essentially, you're doing your stand up, but you have to personalize it a little bit for the group that's hiring you. So at the beginning and the end, I would talk about whatever their business was.
Like if it was John Deere, you'd be like,
yeah,
how about those tractors?
Yeah. I tried to park in front, but there was tractors there. I couldn't park anywhere. I had to take a truck. Yeah, and then just go into
the regular. But that's honestly like something that people would do.
Yeah.
You'd be funnier, obviously, but just meant a few mentions?
A few inside things that, you know, kind of worked to the room of who they were. So then one of the times I did it, and it went well. I did 45 minutes or something, and it went fine. And then the guys paying me at the end said, boy, I wish we knew about you last year. And I go, why? What happened last year? The year prior, they had brought on one of the skaters, one of the hockey players who played in the game between the U.S. and Russia in the Olympics. And they said, we pay that guy 10 times what we paid you, which made me feel really good.
Why did they even say that?
I don't know. And honestly, I have to say, they paid me very decent money for 45 minutes of work. They really did. But knowing that guy made 10 times what I made, and I go, what did he talk about? And he goes, we hired him to do 45 minutes like you. He did 10 minutes, talked about the game, collected his money, had a scotch and soda, and headed out the door for 10 times what I made. And then I thought, wow, I don't know that I'd feel like the night was a success, although, the check cleared, so I guess it was a success.
Yeah, but boy, no wonder you don't work hard anymore.
Yeah, that's when I decided hard work will get you nowhere.
Why did they tell you that?
As he was saying it,
he should have said, you know what, you were so much better than the guy we had last year, but leave it at that.
I didn't need to hear the part about the 10 times as much. Or even if he would have said we paid him more, then I would have went, well, yeah, he was an Olympic hockey player who played in the greatest hockey game of all time. I would have paid him more. But the 10 times as much was the part that was... right. So there's that. Thank you, Judy. Wendy,
you're welcome.
Thank you for saying
no thanks
welcome.
To Ryan Burrow.
He wrote it, right? Yeah? Yep. Let's save some lives. You want to take a few moments to save a few lives?
I would love to.
Apparently.
I try every day.
There are a lot of myths out there about things that could happen to you, very dangerous things, and we want to clear these up. These are survival myths. If done improperly, you could end up losing your life.
Not surviving.
So please pay attention to all of these. Yeah. You want to survive. Did you ever hear this myth that if you're in the ocean and you're attacked by a shark, what do they tell you to do?
Punch it in the nose.
That's it, Wendy. That has been the myth for a long, long time. If you're in the ocean and you hear if you hear that, a shark was coming.
If you hear that music, at least you have time to swim the other way.
Well, that's the warning that there was an agreement years ago between sharks and people, and they said, look, if you're going to attack us, we get it. But you got to make that. You got to make that first.
I've heard punch it in the nose, but I would never do that. First of all, because I'd be too afraid, and my fear would be good because I would just kind of freeze. And isn't that kind of what you're supposed to do?
Well, here's what it. Listen, you hear that first. You hear the horns.
Oh, it sounds like it's off in the distance.
Yeah,
I have time.
Closer. Right.
I mean, how far out are you? For God's sake, don't
go
far
out. Thank you, John Denver.
Not in a John Denver sense.
I'm in 4 feet of water. What's going on? Why is there a shark?
It could still come up.
You're in the pool, though. You're not going to get it. Your chances of being attacked by a shark in the pool is slim.
You think this is funny, but I don't go far
in the
ocean.
You don't go too deep in?
I don't either.
Because of sharks.
Yep.
I can't do it.
I'm also afraid of drowning because I'm not that good of a swimmer.
Oh, no, I can swim. I just don't want to get eaten.
You don't want to get eaten by a shark.
Or have one of my limbs be eaten, which is what would happen probably.
Yeah.
Unless he was cute.
Well, hey there, Mr. Shark.
Wow. It's really hard to land a solid punch on the nose of a moving shark.
Yeah.
So if you can convince the shark to stand still, sit still for a little bit, then you got a better chance.
And
but you know how
can
sharks
can you close
are.
Your mouth, Mr. Shark?
Please.
I need to bop
teeth.
You on the nose.
Oh, those teeth.
Snagglepuss would do something like that.
Right.
I mean, seriously, that is maybe where I first saw it.
Yeah, that would be the... Right.
How does Snagglepuss sound?
I can't do... As much as I would like to help you with Snagglepuss, I can't. In the rare cases where a shark comes in for a bite, try a solid object between you and the animal.
You're swimming. What do you have on you?
Don't you have a paperweight with you when you're swimming? I do. I always do.
You wonder why you can't stay afloat.
Is it the paperweight? It is, isn't it?
I'm going to start swimming with a harpoon on my back.
I'm going to take a cinder block out there.
If the solid object fails, then you need to claw at its eyes and gills.
No, you don't. There's no time for that. Again, it's moving. You know how it moves its head back and forth? How are you going to target the eyes?
Well, you're usually, when it's moving its head like that, you're inside its mouth.
Right.
So
right.
Maybe at that point you can.
Then your arms are tied up.
I would be like, ew, I don't want to touch that big eye. It's all goopy and black.
And rolled back in its head.
Exactly.
Yep. What about this myth? It says, all right, I'm sure you've heard this before, that if a bear is going to attack you, what is your best move? What are you supposed to do if
climb
a bear
up a tree?
Is about to attack you?
Make a lot of noise.
No, just the opposite. It says that the myth that has always been, no, don't stare it down, is that they recommend that you play dead. That the myth is a bear's coming.
You know that you play dead.
You are dead.
You are dead.
Right. You become the role.
That's great acting, though.
If you're out in the woods.
You mean the buttered role?
Yes.
Judy kills herself.
Judy.
I love it.
If you're out in the woods. Judy used to write for Jack Carter. Remember Jack Carter?
Yes,
Judy
was, I do. I'm just picturing it. Lying there dead, and the bear comes up like, well, this is
what?
Easy.
You're playing dead.
Thanks. I can eat you a lot easier
it's easier,
now.
Right. You're not running or
I
flailing.
Would run away. Or somebody, I thought, said bang pots and pans together.
Can bears climb trees?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. They're great at it.
What? I don't know about all bears. I know black bears can get way up in there. Grizzly bears might be too big. I don't know if they climb trees.
Panda bears.
What kind of bears are around
Koala
here?
Koala bears.
What kind
they're
of
not
bears
hurt
are there in Chicago?
Chicago bears.
Oh, they won't even try to get
me. Yeah, they'll never catch me.
They're already playing dead.
Wow. Wow.
You make me mean,
wow.
Bill. You totally make me mean.
You're the new Don Rickles. If you're out in the woods and you see a bear, the general advice is to quietly back away. If
ding,
it's in your
ding,
yard.
Ding, you know, like the tiptoe sound of the. Yeah.
If you're in your yard or around the campsite, make yourself large and loud. That would scare a bear off, right? In the case of an actual attack, though, say the bear catches up to you, your reaction strategy should depend on the bear and the type of attack.
Right. And this is where I get confused, and this is where your idea of the wallet card
don't
comes in handy.
Don't you think that this, we need this more than ever? Here's the idea, Jude. I sell laminated cards that shows you types of animals, including bears, and what you should do should one of those animals attack you. It's like you know those tipping cards that you take into a restaurant that figures out 15 or 20%? But in this case, you look it up and you go, oh, there's a stingray that's about to attack me.
Well,
what do I do?
You're looking it up when? When you were about to be attacked?
In that one-third of a second
well,
between...
Well, it's just a card that you'd whip out of your wallet.
Right.
Hang on, bear.
You
hang
show
on.
It,
hold
you
on.
Show it to the bear. Look.
Oh, you're a card-carrying member?
Give me a second.
It's like
I'm also a client.
Right. In most cases, a brown bear or a grizzly bear attacks to defend itself or its cubs. At these times, though, it will warn you off of making any noises or pretending to be in charge. Back away from a defensive attack slowly.
Back away from the bear.
Please back away from the bear. If the bear makes contact, then play
you're
dead.
You're dead.
No, it says play dead. It doesn't say you are dead.
But it means you're dead.
Play dead just by lying on your stomach with your hands over your neck. I would not do that. I would run as far as I could.
Wait.
As fast as I could.
Your hands are over your neck. That's going to be a tip-off to a bear. I've
not
seen a dead person lay like this.
No dead people lay like
that.
Well,
probably because that's the first place they would claw.
The neck. That's where you're most vulnerable.
Check the neck.
Yeah. Well, that's how it has a new meaning.
Well, here we are laughing, but if that's the way, if that's true, we should really not be, we should be doing it. We should think in our heads, play dead.
Right.
Play dead.
No, I'm getting out of there. I'll run like the
you
Dickens.
You think you could outrun a bear?
I will serpentine.
Well, you know what? If you can run into the house and close the door, that'd be the best thing. Or the car.
That would be your best move.
Yeah.
This is why I always travel with somebody slower than myself.
That's why he's asked me to go camping with him.
Wendy would be a perfect person to camp with because if a bear
so
is attacking.
So you always pray with you.
Yes.
You never have to be faster than the bear. You have to be faster than your friend.
I thought he just wanted to go camping with me.
No, I need somebody slower than me.
Have you ever seen a bear like that?
Not in the wild, no. Is it terrifying?
No, I don't know. I've never seen
it. It would be scary.
See, I don't camp, so I don't really have to worry about this.
Camping.
Oh, God.
But I don't think we have bears around here.
Yes, we do. There are bears native to Illinois.
Not near us here.
Yeah, not on Michigan Avenue.
No.
Well, but even in a campground nearby. Well, maybe Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah, probably Wisconsin.
But if you saw one, if you were just out for a morning walk in Wisconsin and all of a sudden there's a black bear there,
it would
you
turn
go,
into a morning run.
Immediately. I would just go, I'm done.
Yeah.
This thing's going to tear me to shreds.
I was at a house one time up in northern Michigan, or maybe it was Wisconsin. I don't know. somewhere around there. 8 hours away, there were eagles.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, they are scary. I mean,
they always look
they
like
swoop?
They're in a foul mood.
Oh, yeah. And they're huge.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
We have mountain lions and bears. Illinois anticipates the return of black bears. This was dated in 2014. They're not going to be up and down the streets, but the black bear population was growing. That's back
good.
In 2014. Mm. Bobcats, wolves, bears, mountain lions. It's all going on in Illinois. Mm. Armadillos. No, there aren't.
Here, there's no armadillos
here.
Nah. Cross that off.
Fake news.
I'll tell you another thing you don't want to have if there's bears nearby is porridge.
Or to be a blonde.
Right.
Judy, we better darken our hair.
You guys, bring some hair dye with you if you're ever out in the wild. What's the biggest animal you've had in your own yard? Have you ever had a strange animal in your yard?
A deer.
A deer is in your yard?
A what'd you have?
A buck
with the huge antlers.
Oh, man.
I couldn't believe it. I just looked out my window and there it was. Yeah, and then it just, we kind of lived close to the prairie path.
The strangest thing we had was a couple of years ago in the daytime, I looked out and there's a tree just outside our door in our backyard, and there was I had never seen an owl in the wild before, but like an owl that was
like
a yard high, and it stayed there all day long. Like I saw it.
Are
around.
You sure it wasn't a yard statue?
No, it was an actual owl.
Yeah, people do have those fake owls to scare
this
away
was a
the
real
mice.
Owl. And at some point, because I just kept watching it and watching it, because I'd never seen one before, the owl.
Oh.
And I kept thinking to myself, what a majestic, beautiful creature this owl is. I've only seen them in cartoons and Disney cartoons and stuff, but there's one right there. And it's just stunning to look at. It does. I mean, you know,
it's scary, though,
wise.
Too. They could take you
it's
out.
Scary.
They could?
But
no,
it was beautiful,
not.
And then it went to the bathroom, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my
went
life.
Went to the bathroom. What,
I'm
did
like
it go in your house?
Every word, no. And you end with that?
Today's only because it changed my mind about owl. Like, I'm like,
then you were like,
I wish I had an owl in my yard every day. And then I saw what I saw. Oh, boy, was it nasty. It was so foul and awful. And then it just, yeah.
Today's
from then on,
show is going out to all the 12-year-olds out there. The star of today's show, Bill Leff. He's the kid of the week.
I'm Steve's kid of the week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
All right. Well, we got nothing.
No, there's more. I have more things that could save your life. Should we take a break?
Animals
or we just
don't go to the bathroom.
Well, it relieved itself.
All right. That's better. It's just, honest to God.
I didn't
and
know.
And it went to the bathroom, and it was icky.
Now I hate owls.
I'm suing Wendy. I just decided. Yesterday I was kidding about it, but I'm suing you. Now, the rest I don't want to save your life with. I'm looking at the rest of these. I'm like, no, I hope this is what
we could really use, maybe?
What about this? Moss is supposed to always grow on the north side of a tree. Now, people use that if they get lost. Like
I never
they say
knew
to themselves.
That.
Yeah, if you're like way, way out in the wild and you go, I don't know how to get back. The myth has always been that if you can look at a tree and see where the moss is growing, it's on the north side. And that'll help you calculate how best to get back to civilization.
Never do that.
Not true?
Here's the fact. Moss can grow on all sides of a tree. Well, why wouldn't it? Why would it only pick the north side? That's ridiculous.
Well, how did that start?
Well, because a shady area is where moss usually grows. If there's bright sunlight, I don't know if it would.
But the sun is always moving, so it would only block the north side for part of the day, right?
It won't go around completely around the tree. It could be the back side of the tree or the dark side of the moon.
Right.
No, because there are certain parts of my yard that
never see the sun.
Yeah. That would call you'd call it the shade, and that's why you get plants for the shade, because depending on different other trees in the way, it never sees sunlight.
I'm bringing my owl to your house to see if that's true. We'll find
out. I hope
out.
He doesn't go to the bathroom.
Wendy, he's trained. Now,
I hope you have an owl bathroom
you
for
better.
Him to use.
Right. Or he'll use your living room and you don't want that.
Icky poo-poo.
What about this myth? If an animal eats something, then you know it's safe for you to eat it.
That's,
you ever heard that?
Oh, like a dog? If a dog eats something?
Not just a dog. They always say, like, again.
If an owl eats a rat, okay.
Then you could eat it.
No.
No, but they always say, like, there's certain berries that look like they're edible. So you want to see if animals in the area have eaten any, because you go, they've got this keen sense of what's
poisonous
allowable.
And what's
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So the myth is that if animals are eating things, it's okay for you to eat.
Who's
it
ever
says,
adhered to that out of the three of us?
I've never been out in the wild.
I know. And I've never been starving out in the wild where I need
right.
to eat a berry.
You always carry like a Cliff Bar or something, don't you?
Snickers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It says birds and squirrels can eat certain berries and mushrooms, but those could kill a person. Their digestive system is different from ours. So just because they're eating something does not necessarily mean that you can also eat it.
I would never eat. Although,
can you imagine picking up a mushroom in the forest and eating it?
No.
No. No.
Unless you were starving, then it's like, you know what? If I'm going to die from this, at least I won't be hungry anymore.
That's true. But there's people who do, they're foragers,
right,
where they, like, the thrill is to go out to a lot somewhere and just find, you know, mushrooms and seeds.
There's some
and
really,
stuff.
What's that really rare mushroom everyone wants?
Gross.
Truffle? Truffle.
Oh, yeah.
It's like grows.
What,
nowhere.
Kevin? What'd
moral?
You
Isn't that a.
There's a moral to Judy's story.
Not usually.
No, there's not really. But unless there, you have one.
There are mulberries. We have a mulberry tree. And,
you
and,
do?
And just grow, and it's really messy. And that, you know the birds eat them because then.
They're everywhere.
The droppings they leave on your car aren't white anymore.
They're
it's
not
berry
owl
colored.
Droppings, that's for sure.
Does a monkey chase a weasel around it like in the song? That's the only reason I'd even put up a mulberry tree, just to see if a monkey and a weasel would chase each other.
I don't even know if they're technically mulberries, but, I mean, as kids, we used to eat those.
Yeah.
Oh, and you didn't get a stomachache or anything?
No.
Nothing?
Wow. They're like raspberries.
I'd be so afraid to try anything I
they
saw.
They were delicious. We just
they're
eat
good?
Them right
you
off
had
the
them
tree.
Too?
I mean, literally, we wouldn't even touch them. We would eat them off the tree with our mouths.
Hmm.
Really? You wouldn't pick them?
No.
Because I started growing raspberries in my yard, mm-hmm. and if you plant one plant, you will have 30.
Yeah.
And there's just a...
And they're so... They hurt.
Why do they hurt?
Oh, they're thorny.
Thorny. They're
oh, yeah?
terrible.
Well, not the actual raspberries, the plant part.
Mm,
but
yeah.
you said it like that's... I would think that would be a good thing if you planted one raspberry bush and you had 30 of them. That's a bad thing?
But you have to get out there. There's a certain window where they get... You see the berry and then they ripen. And
yeah.
if you don't pick them within 30 seconds of that... It's just a mess.
Really?
Either they get overripe or the birds eat them or the rabbits eat them.
I had a walnut tree in my last house.
Yeah.
I would literally fight the squirrels for the walnuts.
Sure, I bet.
I'm not kidding. Sticks, whatever it took, I'd kick them.
Oh.
Because once they got to those walnuts, it was all over. Delicious, but my entire driveway. I mean, walnuts, it's an oil. That's what they.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And the shells, they're so hard. You know, they're green on the outside.
Yeah.
yeah. And then they get to the shells, and it's just.
So, how do you fix that problem? What do you do to fix all
this? Kill as many squirrels as you can.
Oh.
Yeah, or you move like me. Yeah. No, there's no fixing it. And some years it's a banner year for the walnuts, and other years not so much. But it's
based
always,
on the weather or something
always,
else.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Hmm. I don't know. There might be a schedule with those kind of trees, but it's so messy you can't even believe.
Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, oh no, hate to hear
nature,
that.
Nature, yuck!
Stupid nature.
Icky.
What about this? It always says, let's say for some reason you're out too deep in the ocean. They
Never.
Say you should swim parallel to the shore. If you get caught in like a rip current or something, you want to do your best to keep swimming parallel to the shore. Is that going to hold up or not? It says a rip current is scary, but swimming directly parallel to the shore works best if the current is going directly out to sea. Why wouldn't it be the opposite? You'd want the current coming in, not going out, wouldn't you?
Well, if the current's coming in, it'll pull you in. If you're out too far and it's coming in and then pushing whatever's in out,
mm-hmm.
then you have to swim. I would just cry at that point.
Yeah, at that point.
I mean,
I would yell, help.
Right.
Like that loud and that exciting.
When my family and I, Wendy already knows this, when my family and I went to Turks and Caicos a couple of years ago, I was on, I don't even know what they're called. They're you stand up on it and you kind of navigate it with oars kind of. What would that be? You balance on
it. Paddleboard?
Oh, the paddleboard?
Yeah, paddleboard. It's a paddleboard. Thank you, Kevin.
I thought you meant a motor board.
No, there's no motor.
A motorcycle?
It's a paddleboard.
Paddleboard.
So I was on one, and I was doing fine on it. I was on it for like 15 or 20 minutes, and then I looked up, and the shore was like 2 miles away all of a sudden. Just in minutes, I was about 2 miles out, and I kept waiting because I couldn't. I was trying my best to paddle back in, but the harder I paddled, the further out I went. So I'm waving at them as if
to
signal.
Waving back.
Everybody's waving.
And they're waving back. Hi, Dan.
Yeah.
He looks like he's having fun out there.
Yeah. I was
so
for
happened?
A few minutes. My daughters came and rescued me. Like they
Finally
were able
they
to navigate
realized?
It. Yeah.
And he's admitting it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's how scared he
yeah.
was.
I would still be out
there.
To sea. I would still be way out there. And eventually, because I looked out and I saw there were like luxury yachts. Like I was closer to the yachts, like a mile and a half from them, but 2 miles from shore. And I'm like, well, the worst case scenario is I'll get on one of the yachts.
I'll jump a yacht.
Make friends with the yacht
or
people.
Or they'll just drive over you.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, hello, lovey.
I was scared, and my owl was even more scared.
Oh, boy.
This is his first time out of the country. All right, we must take a break. We are forced to take a break. But first, can we take – there's an update from a caller who knows what's going on over at the airport, knows more about it than we do. They don't want to give their name, and if I was part of the show, I wouldn't either, actually, Wendy.
Is this Ann or Andy Anonymous?
Ann. Andy.
Andy Anonymous.
I can't really say, but I know a friend of mine works at O'Hare at United, like, Postal Transportation.
Yeah.
And there's, I guess, different info from my friend than what Ryan reported earlier, that the big dead rabbit came off the plane already dead rather than, like, in a kennel or something like that.
Yeah. What do they know?
Well, I mean, I don't really know. I don't want to get my friend in trouble, but they came across the dead rabbit, and it was off the plane instead of in a kennel. I know United's been getting a bad rap and PR-wise, so I don't know if they're just trying to save skin or whatever, but I'm just curious how much investigation they're going to do or who the Kansas City owner is and how much they press it, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get a different story before this all shakes out.
I would imagine. And it has been a very trying week for United the last couple.
And everything's going to be scrutinized, so
yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, thank you, anonymous listener. We
Andy.
Greatly is it Andy Anonymous?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Listen safely. All right.
But not too closely.
No. Please. We beg you.
And some people might not know how to call us on the stream. How do they do it?
Well, here's what you want to do, Wendy, is you want to get a telephone. And then you want to dial 312-235-2525. That number again is 312-235-2525. Can you text during the show? That's a commonly asked question. You're not supposed to, but yeah, we'll allow
I'm
that
doing
sort
it right
of thing.
Now.
Wendy's texting us right now. So that's
312. You mean as long as there are no police around?
Right. Make sure okay. that there are no coppers in the area. 312-981-7200 if you want to text. Now, keep in mind the kids down at the Wintrust Business Lunch will also be able to see those texts. So throw in something nice about them if you have the chance. Judy, thank you for hanging out.
Absolutely. Thank
Greatly
you for having
it.
Me. I'm going to go brush up on my... animals in nature.
Yes. In case you
scare.
Get attacked.
Yes.
Nobody wants that. But
and don't walk under an owl.
Please.
That's what Bill would like to
That's
share.
That's my advice.
You.
That's my solid
Next
advice.
Owl I see, taking it out.
Yep. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Hey, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, really quick. We don't have a whole lot of time because there's a lot coming up on the stream.
Really? What's coming
us.
Up next?
We're on again in 23 hours. 23 hours and 4 minutes. I can't speak for you, but I'm going through serious hockey withdrawal.
I know.
You at all, too? I went from watching every Blackhawks game, and not only the Blackhawks games, but sometimes I'd flip on other games, you know, on the nights that the Hawks were off, just to see who we could potentially be playing in the next round. And now that the Hawks are no longer in it, spoiler alert, I have not watched a second of hockey.
Because what does it matter?
I know.
I'm upset. I'm bitter.
So nothing's changed, really.
I feel bad for them. I really
too.
Do, but
and Mike Kitchen, who I love, the coach, one of the assistant coaches.
I enjoyed him as well.
They'd always bring him on between periods to say what do the Hawks need to do next, and he would tell you. And now he's no longer a part of the team. I feel bad about that, but I'm really going through incredible hockey withdrawal. And even like last night, there were some games on, and I'm like, I don't even want to see it. It's too painful.
What do you think the Blackhawks are doing right now? Like the Chris Farley, like, darn it.
I don't know.
Are they out just vacationing? I mean, they got to feel terrible.
I always wondered if, like, once you get to the playoffs and you're eliminated, if you still want to watch the rest of it to go, well, this is what I do for a living. I got to see what's what.
What or does do it matter? It's all going to be different next year.
Yeah, I guess so. And you know what's surprising? This is what's surprising me about you is you played basketball in school.
And I don't like watching it.
You don't watch it at all, do you? Like, every time I mention a Bulls thing, you don't know. You're like, oh, I don't know what that is.
No, I know what it is. But I honestly, when Michael Jordan was playing, I found myself watching a lot of Bulls games.
I think people that had no interest at all in basketball because Michael Jordan was who he was, all of a sudden they go, I got this. This is more than basketball.
You got to experience it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I don't know, post Michael Jordan, post MJ, it doesn't do
Nothing.
It for me.
It's really strange, the Bulls team, because I didn't watch it anywhere near as much as I watched the Blackhawks all season long, or even now that baseball's on, I find myself watching way too much baseball on both sides of town. Both teams have had a great couple of days. But I don't remember what my point was in rough time.
Don't do this to people where you leave them in suspense.
Oh, I just wanted to say America's the greatest country.
No, ever. You were talking about basketball and watching them, and you've been watching a lot. Hockey.
Oh, yeah. The Bulls were a team, and I can't think of any other team like this in professional sports that consistently beat teams that were better than them and lost to teams that they were way better than. Like, all season long, they'd be playing a top-line team, and you go, well, what do they do? They shouldn't even be on the court with these guys. Not a problem. They'd take care of business. Then they'd play, like, the Brooklyn Nets, like the worst team in basketball, and they'd lose. And you go, well, how can that be? Why don't you know what's what?
But don't you turn it on when more is expected of you?
Oh, sure.
So I totally understand that.
But for a whole season, it's just, like, other teams get it. Oh, we're playing an awful team. This is a pretty much an automatic win. But the Bulls, for some reason, all season long, couldn't do that. But then you go, but then in the playoffs, that would bode well for them. Because, you know, they're an 8 seed playing the Boston Celtics. They'll be fine. And they were for a couple of games, but now it's a little dicey.
Well, go Bulls.
Go Bulls. Win this, would you guys? Come on. We need it.
What are you going to do if they win?
Jump up and down and go yay? I don't like to overdo it. Kids, we're out of time. There's no more time on today's show. Tomorrow, a new show, the Thursday edition of our show. Now, on the regular show, Gilbert Gottfried will join us.
I love him. I really do.
Very funny.
Big fan.
On the stream show...
Will you join us on the regular show?
I can't commit. If I'm around and, you know, you'll invite me in, yeah, I'll stop in for a little bit. I'll bring my owl. Would you like that?
Do you have a moose, too, and a gibbon?
I had a gibbon named Peanut.
I don't know why I even talked to you about these things.
He went to jail once. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
Yeah, he did 3 years.
You'll have to tell us tomorrow and then forget.
It's too painful. The story's too painful. All right, bye, everybody. Thank you for listening. Nothing is next. We're glad that you joined us. We love you.
Wow.
I know. I got emotional at the end. Didn't I?
Good word.
I wasn't afraid. I'm not
You're
putting
warming
up,
up.
Wendy, I'm not putting up barriers. Some people put up barriers. I'm not. I build bridges. I don't build walls.
Good for you, Bill.
They're not good bridges. They're not solid bridges, but they're bridges. Bye.